Chapter 29. August 7th. It was a bright day with a soft blue sky, and a faint breeze blew into Clark's face as he walked rapidly from the building that had brought him to a period of his own past life. No one bothered him. He wore a captain's uniform with the special red insignia that indicated an Imperial staff member. Sentries posted on streets adjoining the building snapped to attention as he walked by. In 5 minutes, he was in a public car plane heading purposefully into the heart of the city. He had more than 2.5 months to pass before he would be back where he had started, but for what he had in mind, the time would be short indeed. It was late afternoon, but he was able to rent a 4-room office before the close of business that day. An employment agency promised to have several stenographers and bookkeepers report by 9 a.m. the following morning. And though the place was furnished as an office only, he was able to obtain a cot before dark from a 24-hour rental service. That night, he planned into the early morning hours and then slept restlessly on the cot. He rose shortly after dawn and, carrying with him the sheet of paper on which he had his calculations, took an elevator down to the exchange room of one of the largest stock brokerage firms in the city. In his pocket were some 500,000 credits, which had been given to him by the second Cale Clark. The money was mostly in bills or large denomination, and there were as many of them as one man could burden himself with and still be able to move. Before that day had run its course, he had made 3,700,000 credits, and the bookkeepers upstairs were busy making records of his stock transactions, the stenographers were beginning to write letters, and a chartered accountant, hastily hired as office manager, hired more help and took on more office space on adjoining floors. Tired but jubilant, Cale spent the evening preparing for the next day. He had had one experience of what a man could do who had brought with him from the future complete stock market reports for a period of 2.5 months. He slept that night with a sense of exhilaration. He could scarcely wait for the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next. During the month of August, he won 90 billion credits. In that series of deals, he took over one of the chain banks, 4 billion credit industrial establishments, and obtained partial control of 34 other companies. During the month of September, he made 330 billion credits and absorbed the colossal First Imperial Bank, 3 interplanetary mining corporations, and part ownership of 290 companies. By the end of September, he was established in a 100-story skyscraper in the heart of the financial district, and he gave Employment Incorporated the job of setting him up as a big business. On September 30th, over 7,000 employees were working in the building. In October, he diverted his cash resources to investment in available hotel and residential properties, a total of 3 1/8 trillion credits worth. In October also, he married Lucy Rawl, answered the call from himself, just back from Mars, and made an appointment to meet the other Clark. The two young men, equally grim and determined, visited the Penny Palace, and secured from Harge Martin the money that had been stolen by the gambling house owner. Actually, the money mattered little at this stage, but there was an important principle involved. Cale Clark was out to conquer the impersonal world of Isher, and no one who had ever put anything over on him was going to have that satisfaction for long. After Harge Martin, it was a natural step to seek out Colonel Medlin, and so prepare to groundwork for the journey into the past. Two Cale Clarks, really one only, but from different times. And that was the story that Robert Hedrock gave to the Weapon Shop Council. That was the phenomenal incident that forced the Empress to end her war, lest other officers or men wreck the financial stability of the solar system by trying to repeat the success of Cale Clark.